Just have a quick word of prayer for our brother. Father, we come before you and we commit our brother into your care. We pray, Lord, that he may soon recover and resume his normal activities. And yet, Father, we thank you for your goodness and kindness to us in so many ways, and certainly our health is one of those. And so we ask that you'll intercede on our brother's behalf at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I just tell you that whoever had the idea of Cypress Garden yesterday gets my vote for president. First of all, there's probably no other contenders that really deserve to get voted for. And secondly, we had a splendid day. Actually, we had such a good time on the bus, it wouldn't have mattered where you dropped us off. I mean, we just had a splendid time. And of course, the fact that it was there made it even grander. There's several items on the back table, and because we're limited for time, I'll just mention some of those. But one of those is the article from the Hong Kong newspaper that talks about the classification, the reclassification of people going into China. And I'll just quote to you one of the sentences there where they label everyone business, cultural exchange, or missionary. Those are the only three options. And it says, since proselytizing is illegal in China, the move to identify a group of non-Chinese as missionaries amounts to a move to single the group out for possible criminal punishment. That's the idea that they have. Now, remember that this is still 13 months early. And so watch the persecution that comes. And as I mentioned to some of you, in the last 2 weeks, they've destroyed 1,000 home churches in Shanghai, one city, 1,000 churches in 2 weeks. And so watch what is taking place there. There's a copy of that news article on the table. There's also other brochures in literature. I'll mention just several books. Some of you have asked about the book, The Next Move, and it's been redone. It's entitled, Can You Really Know Your Future? Read What the Bible Says. Several years ago, when we went into Russia, there was the need for a book on prophecy in the Russian language. So this has been translated into the Russian language. As a matter of fact, in the Russian language, we've had 110,000 go out. In English, about 25 or 30,000. But in Russia, one of the key words is future. They don't want to know their past. They have memories of the past, and it's not good. And so they want to know about the future. The other key word is the Bible. Read what the Bible says. And so I think you'll enjoy this particular book because it will deal with many of the things that we're talking about in our series. And there's a number of tapes. The tapes are $1. Some of those are on prophecy, but others are on a variety of things, including Colossians chapter 1 and some of the missionary sessions as well. And I think for the sake of time, we'll pass those to you. Let me just say a word about this. I'll try to make it just a word. As some of you know, Disney has changed dramatically over the last several years. And I always get into a little bit of trouble when I mention to you that really the Lion King is not as innocent as it may appear. Now, I don't know if your king is a lion, but mine is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, not the Lion of Disney. And there's a number of things that are controversial about Lion King. And I know that some of you bought those things for your grandchildren, so I tread very lightly as I mentioned to you that it was a great way to introduce the homosexual lifestyle to a number of people. It was also a great way for them to have messages come by in the clouds. And as some of you know, there's a lawsuit pending right now. Well, some of the people escaped Disney and began a company of their own, some that were believers. They began what was called NEST, N-E-S-T, the Family Entertainment Program. They have three sets of videos. All of them are animated. Now, you know what happens when you put a cartoon on. You know what happens to kids as they watch it. Recently, when I was in Prince Edward Island, I said to someone, I said, don't make an announcement, just put that in and watch how soon the kids gather around the VCR. I'd say within 2 minutes, every kid was watching. Within three, every adult was watching. And what they were watching was the animated story of Disney, of Daniel. Not Disney, Daniel. And when it was done, they rewound it and played it again. It's interesting because there are now 12 stories, Old Testament characters, Elijah, Joseph, Daniel, and so on, all animated. As well, there are workbooks that have different skill levels for lessons and tests and quizzes. And when you buy that, you have permission to reproduce it. So it can be used in Sunday school or camps or so on. If you're looking for something that is good quality, outstanding animation, and at the same time has a good message, look at the Old Testament series. Then there's the Great American Hero series. And then there's another one on the New Testament. I think you'll find those to be outstanding. And we have a few of those back there, but a catalog that tells more about them. Well, there are other books and tapes back there, but for the sake of time, this morning I think we'll end with that because, to be honest with you, I think about how many sessions I have and what I'd like to tell you, and we just need to move on the way. Someone told me I talk too fast, and I've slowed down. You know, just for Sunday, I slow down. But we're going to pick up speed today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John. John's Gospel, chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And one of the stories that we're going to be looking at today, I think, is one where the world has greatly criticized the Christian community. And frankly, while it might have been bold enough to criticize us a few years ago, it does not dare criticize us today. Here's why. The Bible is God's Word and it's completely up to date. And as we look at it today, I think you'll understand what I'm speaking of. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Remember, our theme verse for this week is verse 19. Here's what he says. Now I tell you, before it comes, that when it is coming to pass, you may believe that I am He. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to take place so that when it's occurring, you'll know that I knew. What a statement of the deity and the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew about Calvary, and he knew about today. Now, in our study on the Lord's Day, we were looking at the aspect that God has a plan. And the plan is not one that we vote on. Reminds me a little bit of the second grade class that had a rabbit for a class pet. And they wanted to name the rabbit. And so they said, well, how can we name the rabbit until we know whether it's a boy or a girl rabbit? So they asked the teacher, is it a boy or a girl? And the teacher wasn't sure. And so she said, all right, let's vote on it. Now, you see, we can vote on whatever we want to, but when it comes to the Word of God, we do not vote on the truth, do we? God's plan is in effect whether we approve it or not. And so we cannot change the plan of God. It doesn't matter whether we believe the plan of God or we don't believe the plan of God. The plan of God is in effect, isn't it? His plan marches on. And so our purpose is to understand what is the plan of God. And then to say, all right, I'm going to change my priorities. I'm going to change my desires to fit the plan of God. But His plan is the plan that is marching on. And so what we saw that there would be a time that He would rule and reign. And once He begins to reign, and once He begins to rule, there'll be no end to His kingdom. It's called the Millennial Kingdom. And it goes beyond. He will never stop His ruling and reigning from that point on. But before that time comes of the Millennial Kingdom, the Bible is clear that there will be Armageddon. Now, I always play it backwards. It's good to say, here is the Kingdom of God. And before that must be Armageddon. And before Armageddon must be 7 years of tribulation. This period of tribulation is recorded in the Bible in Revelation 6 through 19. It is the wrath of God as it's poured out upon the earth. The purpose of the tribulation is to bring Israel to the point that they will see who Christ really is. They will see the true Messiah. And the Bible says that prior to the tribulation ever beginning, there will be a time when a treaty that's already made will be confirmed. Daniel 9:27, He will confirm the treaty with many, and the word many is the word for Jewish leaders. With the Jewish leaders, an Antichrist will confirm a treaty that's already been made, a peace agreement. And I believe that prior to that is when Christ will come for the church. Now, several months ago when I was walking through Walmart with my wife and she was going, can you believe they've already got Christmas trees up? I think it was October. And I mean, they were decorating for Christmas. You know what I said to her? I said, Thanksgiving's coming. And she says, now what does that mean? I said, well, when I see all these Christmas trees, I know that Thanksgiving's coming. She says, I still don't know. I said, look, when I see them putting up Christmas trees before Halloween, I know Thanksgiving's coming. Now, the Christmas tree is not a symbol for Thanksgiving, is it? It's a symbol for Christmas. It occurs a month after Thanksgiving. But I know when I see Walmart putting up the Christmas trees before we ever get to Christmas, Thanksgiving comes. Are you with me? These signs that we're looking at, we're going to look at them, and the Bible says, in the latter days, this will be true. In the latter days, this will be true. In the latter days, this will be true. And when I see these signs coming, listen, before these signs ever come to their fruition, Jesus is going to come in the clouds for the believer. Do you see the blessed hope that we have? And so that is our purpose. Our purpose is not to understand all the signs. Our purpose is to be looking for Christ. And if it would cause us to live for Him, to see the signs coming, then let us look at the signs. But the purpose is always to be looking for Christ, not just the signs. Now, we looked at several yesterday. One of those, we saw that the Bible said in the book of Hosea that in the latter days, Israel would return to the land and they would return to sacrifices. And we saw that a very powerful movement right now in Israel is to return to sacrifices, so complete, so exact, that the brightest and most religious devout people in Israel right now are planning to welcome the Messiah by bringing in sacrifices again. It's interesting because they are planning in such a way that they are duplicating 93 sacred vessels. The priest's garments, the instruments to be used in the burnt offerings, the instruments to be used to collect the blood for the blood sacrifices, the perfumes, the breastplates, all of that, the musical instruments, every one of the trumpets, a one-piece instrument of a trumpet, exactly as they used before, all have been made and are ready for use. As a matter of fact, the priests actually practiced the sacrifices, waiting for the exact moment when they can be used. And the Bible said that would occur in the latter days. And then we looked at the aspect of Russia. We saw that the Bible said that in the latter days, that Rosh would invade out of the north into Israel to take food, to take money, and to reclaim people. And all three of those are a distinct possibility. It mentions that when they invade out of the north, that they would actually be involved with a number of countries. And as we look at the conflict just north of Israel at this very hour, it involves Iran, Turkey, and Russia, three key components as mentioned in the Bible. Do you know that was recorded 2,700 years ago? And he said to the prophet Ezekiel, in the latter days, these will be the characters on the stage. And you know what? I think it says that we're living in the latter days. And as we come to our lesson this morning, we want to look at Revelation, Revelation chapter 13. There's several places we could read to support this, and perhaps we'll do that on another occasion. But today we want to look at maybe one of the most laughed at portions of Scripture until the last decade of any prophetic portion. Revelation chapter 13, for the sake of time, verse 1, and then we'll skip to verse 11. The human instrument John, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes chapter 13, verse 1, and says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. I just want to stop there. In Revelation, it's interesting because every symbol is identified. I began to write a book on Revelation. I thought, why in the world am I doing this? Every symbol in Revelation is identified in the book itself. And what we read in Revelation 17, that the sea is the picture of a worldwide people, of the Gentile nations. And so he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his ten horns, ten crowns, and upon its heads, the name of blasphemy. I personally believe that this particular beast is the Antichrist. Now, there's some controversy about that, but I believe that it indicates that the Antichrist is going to come up out of a Gentile world power. Whether the Antichrist is a Jew or a Gentile, we don't know. 2 Thessalonians says that He will not be revealed until after the church is gone. So any guess as to who the Antichrist is purely a guess, and frankly not very profitable. And so all the time people are playing games to try to figure out a number code. No, there's no sense for us to do that. But He comes up out of a revived Gentile power. Now, notice, if you will, verse 11. Another beast is introduced. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The earth is taken as the land of the Jews. I personally believe that this particular beast is the false prophet. You see, there is a godly trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Satan, everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit for, doesn't he? And just as there is God the Father, well, there is the devil himself. Just as there is God the Son, there is a false Christ. We call him an Antichrist. And just as there is the Holy Spirit, there is a false prophet. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit is always to give credence to the Son of God, isn't it? He always points to Christ. And in the same fashion, the job of the false prophet is to always point to the Antichrist. That's his job. And so, according to verse 11, he said, I beheld another beast, I'm going to say the false prophet, coming up out of the earth, out of the land of Israel. He had two horns like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. You see, this first beast, this Antichrist, something occurs and it looks like his life is taken. Notice I said it looks like his life is taken. Because very soon what he's going to do, he's going to fake not only death, he's going to fake resurrection. Now, the reason I say fake death and fake resurrection is because Satan does not have the power of resurrection. That belongs to God. And so he's going to pretend like he is wounded to death. And therefore he can fake a resurrection because he does not have that power. And so I personally believe that there will be an Antichrist come up out of the Gentile world powers. Whether he's a Jew or Gentile, I don't know. Because you see, there are a lot of Jews who live, let's say, in Europe. So it could be a Jew out of a Gentile world power. Several years ago, a good friend of mine, a Bible teacher, you would know his name if I mentioned his name to you, said that they were involved in doing a crusade in Europe. And as they were out on the street handing out flyers, a young lady handing out a flyer, handed a flyer to a man, and he said, I don't want it. He says, I'm a Jew. I'm an Antichrist. No, as a matter of fact, he said, I'm the Antichrist. And then he gave this young lady her name, her first and last name, and told her the hotel she was staying at. To say she was frightened would be an understatement. She could hardly wait to get back to the rest of the group. And as he related the story to me, he said, what do you think? I said, well, first of all, I don't think he is the Antichrist. Because if he is the Antichrist, why would he reveal himself to her and to nobody else? I think there's a lot of Antichrists running around. But there will be one, the Antichrist. I think that Satan has had many people lurking in the wings wanting the job, to be honest with you. But there will come a time, under God's permission, when the Antichrist will be revealed. And I do not believe it can happen before we're raptured. But once we're raptured, this is the scene that will take place. He will rise up out of the Gentile world powers. He will be an incredible man of peace. He will have solutions to problems that people have been looking for. He will look to the Middle East and say, I can solve the problems there. You think there's confusion there? Watch this. And he brings about a confirmation of a treaty that is failing, and he makes it work. There is so much support among the Jewish people. Why? Because there's a Jew, a false prophet, that comes to power, and he says, listen, you can trust him. Trust this man. And as the Jews confirm this treaty, they set down their weapons. Now they have unwalled villages, and they're an open target for Rosh and the united forces that come against them. That's what the Bible says. Listen, it cannot be now, and here's why. The reason it cannot be now is because Israel is not unwalled. When you travel in Israel, if you want to be secure, go to Israel. Security there is real. But they will honestly believe that this man will guarantee them peace. All the time people say, aren't you afraid when you go to Israel? And there is a part of the trip that's very frightening. On our way to Israel, we stop and we stay all night in New York. Now, that's frightening. But I don't fear once I go to Israel. It's New York that I worry about. And so he says, listen, I guarantee that he'll be peaceful. Verse 13, it says, he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, here's the key word about the Antichrist. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had a wound by a sword and did live. You see, this one will do such miracles, will do such incredible things that the world will begin to say, listen, he must be God. In order to do the miracles that he's doing, he must be God. And they will begin to think that the solution to planet Earth rests in this man. And when they see him wounded to death and then come alive again, they will be convinced that indeed he is deity. And the Bible says, no, all he will be is a deception. And then it says, verse 15, he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Somehow there will be an image of him. Now, this is where people begin to say, how can you take literally the Bible? I mean, we are so sophisticated, we are so much in that, we are not about to worship an image, a picture. But the Bible is clear that that is what will take place. That somehow or another, as he fakes death and fakes resurrection, that his image will be set up and it will be worshipped. Now, I just want to put a parenthesis here, because the Bible also says that it will be in the tabernacle of David. He says that in Amos 9. He says it again in Acts 15. The tabernacle of David is where he'll be worshipped. Now, think about it. Did David worship in the temple? No. Good for you, no. Instead, remember, Solomon built the temple years later. But David worshipped in a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a temporary building made out of sheets of material, skins of animals that could be erected within hours. I personally believe that when Israel begins to sacrifice rather than build a temple out of bricks, I think in the tribulation they will make a tabernacle of David, just like the Bible says. Check Amos 9. Check Acts 15. They will make a temporary building. They will begin to sacrifice, and they will put an image of this particular man, this Antichrist, this peacemaker. And anyone who does not worship the image of the beast will be threatened with death. Now, are we so sophisticated that we would never do that today? May I read to you from a little book entitled Jurassic Park? I'm not against Jurassic Park. I'm fascinated with dinosaurs. I think dinosaurs truly did exist. I think they coexisted with Adam. I personally think they were destroyed in the flood. Now, you may hold other opinions. That's okay. But in this book, here's what they talk about. They say, you know, for a long time, when people saw a scary movie like King Kong, it was stop action. And you saw this huge gorilla, you know, but he moved like this. And so you said, how can that be real? And you're right. It was pure baloney. And it didn't scare anybody. But today, the shock of your kids' lives and your grandkids' lives will be when you say, do you know that the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park were not real? And they were so lifelike, they think they're real. How did it happen? Well, here's what Jurassic Park producers say. You cannot tell this is fake by looking at it. It is because of digital animation. We have computers now working at 3/4 of a trillion lines of information per second. It's mind-boggling. Your television is composed of a set of dots. If a computer had a program causing each dot to be activated at a certain time while you're looking at it, you cannot tell whether you're looking at a real photo, an image, or the real thing. And they talk about how that an image now has life. All these years and all this technology later, all we can do is confirm what the Bible said. You see, the Bible is up to date, isn't it? And the Bible says that somehow he's going to make the image of the beast come alive. Verse 16. Look at this. Here's what else he does. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I wish we had about 2 hours to spend on some of the stuff, but we'll do it in 10 minutes. Can you listen fast? Let me show you why I believe that we're marching right to that. Here is an article out of the Wall Street Journal. Did you know the Wall Street Journal was not a Christian publication? I just want to make sure, because people say only Christian publication. No, Wall Street Journal. Matter of fact, the man who faxed this to me is the president of a bank. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he listens to the radio program back home, and he wrote a note, "Rob, thought you might be interested in this." Here it is. Frequent flyers, Linda Hamm, request the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Next month, it will give out forms at the JFK Airport and Newark International Airports for foreign and U.S. travelers willing to join a test program for faster processing of arriving passengers. It will use an infrared hand scan to confirm the identity of travelers. Now, this is great. Do you know how many hours I spend in passport lines? All they do, they simply give you a little invisible tattoo right here on your hand, and when you go up there, they scan you like a piece of hamburger, and all your information comes up on the computer, and you walk right through. That's technology. That's good. Look, do not get the idea that technology is bad. It's that someday an evil man will use technology for his cause. It's not the technology bad. It's men who use the technology. That's what's evil. And so they say, hey, we just put a little tattoo. All your information is there. You scan. There you go. It makes good sense, doesn't it? Frankly, if you stand in lines very long, you'll see what I mean. This is out of PC Weekly. For those of you that are computer buffs, PC Weekly, Postal Service, IRS, National Identity Cards, Clinton gives the okay. The Clinton administration is working on creating an identification card that every American will need to interact with any federal government agency with a personal identity number that can be transferred to a part of your body. I think it's exciting. You want to know why? To me, it says Jesus is coming. That's what it says. You see, these are signs, but the sign, this does not have to be in place until the tribulation. Before the tribulation ever starts, I'm out of here. Now, I don't know about you. If you know Christ, you'll be out of here. And those that don't know Christ, they'll be anchored right to the pew, won't they? This is out of DNB Reports. It's a news brief, breezing through immigration. And they say the Immigration Naturalization Service is testing something called INPASS. What it is, they use your handprint. You put your hand, they'll record everyone's handprint, so you got your fingerprint and your handprint, and you have a little card, and with that, you can breeze through immigration. I think it's a great idea, frankly. Here's another article on that particular item. Here it is. In Europe, passport to the future. With just a plastic card and a handprint, millions of travelers in Europe now streak across international borders. It's called FAST system, Future Automated Screening for Travelers. They say that it takes less than 2 seconds per passenger to completely do a security check on every person on the plane. This is grand. This is technology. But you see, it's exactly what the Bible said. The Bible said that there would be a... You know when John wrote this? John wrote this 1,900 years ago. 1,900 years ago, he said, listen, in the last days, an Antichrist will come to power. A false prophet will endorse him. And unless you have a code in your hand or in your head, you will not be able to buy or sell or trade. That's the way business will be done when the last days are here. Are we there? Look, it's just marvelous what is taking place. Can you imagine running an ad like this? Oh, they said they can make this invisible. But they're saying, you know what? You can even identify your customers. They're saying that it would be possible now if people will carry certain identification chips that when they come in the store, it can actually activate something, and on your screen it even shows who the customer is walking in the store. Isn't that great? There's a company in California that has their employees, all of them They have a little computer chip embedded right under the skin, right here by their hairline. Oh, they studied the hand, but you might have on gloves. And so they embed it right here under the hairline. And as you walk into the plant, this little chip, this little computer chip, automatically clocks you in. All day long, it traces exactly where you are. If they want to know where any employee is, they simply type his identification code into the screen, and the little thing begins to flash right where he is. If they want to, 1 month later, they can play back your whole day. They know how long you were in the restroom. They know who you talked to. They know exactly what blueprint files you went to. Isn't this fantastic? Now listen, the technology, what if you want to know where your kids were? You simply type in their identification code, and there it would flash in the neighborhood. Here's where they are. You see, we are at a place where we want to know the personal identity of people. And I think some of people are willing to give up some freedom for that, and that's what this would involve. Not too long ago, I was with some people that were making a very interesting device. They thought I might be interested for the school. And they said, you know, this device, matter of fact, it looked like a watch. They gave me equivalent of a watch. You could put it on. There was a little computer chip in there. And he programmed the thing, and he said, as you walk around here, any door that's coated with green or blue, you can walk through. Anyone with red, you cannot. So I began to walk around. I came through a green door and walked right through it. Came to a blue, walked right through it. Came to a red door, and as I put it, click. I said, I'll trick it. I walked back like that and hit it like that, and I heard a voice come over the PA. He said, we thought you'd try that. Every door locked in the hallway. Now he said, this bracelet, he said, would be perfect. He said, let's say that you have a person who's on parole. You simply make them wear a bracelet with a chip, and you can keep track of every move they make. In a school, if you want to, every kid would wear a watch when he went in, and you would know whether he went to the library or the restroom, or if he said he's going to the library, you can program so he can only get in the library door. This is a great idea. If old people have a tendency to wander off, put this on, you can trace it. Simply type in their number, and you can find exactly where they are. If your doctor's in the shopping mall, they know precisely where he is at every minute of the day. This technology is fantastic. And I said, you know, I said, I'd take this watch off. I said, I'd flush it right down the stool. He said, we thought you'd say that too. He said, the next one, he says, we'll bury right under your skin. I thought he was joking, but he didn't laugh. He says, the technology is here to do it today. My wife and I were in Vancouver. We turned on the news. We watched a great program as they began to talk about how that Vancouver was going bankrupt. One person from China comes over as a legal citizen, and pretty soon he begins to bring in all of his extended family, and I mean all of his extended family, because there's free medical care there. And as you go into the airport, you can buy a passport for $5 or $10, a fake passport, mind you. But with the passport, now you get free medical care. And so many illegal people are flooding into Vancouver that they say, we have got to find a way to stop it. We've got to have a way to identify who these people are. And we're being inundated by them. And at the end of a special program, the doctor, they said, okay, we've identified the problem. We know the problem is serious. We know it's costing us millions of dollars. What do we do about it? And the doctor said, let's bury a computer chip right under their skin on their hand. I thought, surely someone would object. But the panel of doctors said, that's a great idea. You can lose your billfold, but you can't lose your hand. You can borrow a card. You can steal a passport. But if you got it in your hand, it's secure. I was at a border getting ready to cross into Canada, talking to a good friend of mine who was a preacher. And we were so engaged in conversation, we anticipated the question, but we gave the wrong answer. And he said, Rob Lindstedt from Wichita, Kansas. The man says, you are not. And he gave him his name. And I said, just a minute. I said, how did you know that? And when he found out we were just two absent-minded preachers visiting with one another, we just didn't hear the question properly. He said, oh, he said, as you're waiting in line, he said, we scan your license plate. And as we scan your license plate, it feeds it into the computer. And on the screen comes your name and your address. And he says, when you give me your name and your address, I match it against what's on the computer screen already. Isn't that marvelous? Listen, It's in every area. New Way for Business. This is out of Informant magazine. This is the magazine for inventors and those who like technology. It's talking about the Heinz 57 people. Now, please do not get the idea that I don't like Heinz 57. I prefer Heinz 57 ketchup. I'm saying this because I have enough problems with lawsuits. I don't need one more. I like Heinz 57. It pours slow. You know what I mean? And they want to make good ketchup. So here's what they've done. They have buried something called RFID devices, radio frequency devices. What I've been telling you, it's old technology. There's a new one. They can actually bury a radio frequency transmitter. And they put these in all the trucks as they come down from Northern California to the processing plant in Southern California. They do not want the trucks to back up on the freeway. It would spoil the flavor of the ketchup. So they have on every truck a radio frequency device that tells exactly the location, and they actually can time the trucks as they come to the plant so they don't wait out in the hot sun to ruin the flavor of the tomatoes. All done through a computer chip buried on the trucks. Here's another one that I love. See a little postcard of a pet? I know what you're thinking. What has that got to do with? Well, listen to the back of it. Dear friend, it hurts to lose your pet. I know every day we receive calls about lost pets. Frankly, until now, there's not been much we could do. Now we can help. Our hospital can safely identify your pet. A simple injection of a teeny AVID microchip gives your pet a lifetime of protection. Shelters are checking all animals for this device. It could save your pet's life. $25. I'd like to see my vet put a chip in my buffalo for $25. That'd be an experience. Listen, this is great. You see, it used to be that what they'd have to do when they put the chip, they just simply give an injection to your cat or dog. The little device goes right under the skin. When your dog gets loose, they catch the dog or the cat. They scan it like a piece of hamburger. On the screen comes the owner's name. The new technology is so great, they don't even have to catch the animal. Buried under the skin is this identification chip that gives the owner's name, address, and phone number. Now they have a little gun that looks like a radar gun that they use for catching speeders. They aim it at the scoundrel in the bush. They shoot it a couple times. Finally, they find the device. On the screen comes the owner's name. They call the owner. They tell, your dog is loose. It's in this bush. And they send you a bill for breaking the leash law. All of it done through this identification system. It's marvelous. Look at this article in the paper. All plastic transistor developed, perfect for burial under the skin. What do you think they have in mind? I know what it is. Out of the European paper, look at this. They show a picture of a newborn baby, and they say that in Europe, every new baby now is coded. By the way, 17,000 were just coded in Florida in a new experiment. Because, you see, this would prevent kidnapping the children. I mean, there's tremendous benefits to it. Out of the technology section, the European paper, not coins and banknotes, but a digital transfer system. Listen, I think one of the most incredible things is how that we are turning into a society that, you know, the Bible is quite clear that there will be a day, there will be a time when we will no longer have currency as we know it. Now, recently when we were in Europe, a couple years ago when we were in Europe, I had $100. I traded it in for one currency. I didn't buy anything, but I got $85 at bank exchange. I said, my. Didn't buy anything, traded back, you know, and I got $75 back. Went into another country, traded that $75 in, got $65, bought some postcards, traded it back, I got $50. I began to complain. He said, listen, before long, we'll have one currency that will do the whole thing. I was very interested. Do you know that all over the world, all the currency has gone to a blank spot? Every currency has gone to a blank spot with a hologram right on the side. And across that blank spot, they can now put a code that will make it so that every money, still having its national identity, that's the problem. No one wants to give up to that. You see, if we had a bill that had foreign writing on it, how would we know what it said? So here it is. This particular one is from Zaire. It's a $5 million bill. Relax. It's worth about $1.31. Okay, but backwards Zaire has a blank spot on their bill, and so does Switzerland. I mean, there it is, the blank spot with a hologram in the middle. In And this one is out of Jamaica with a blank spot. And this one is out of India. The blank spot's pretty obvious, isn't it? And you hold it up and you can see the hologram. And this one is out of France. And this one is out of one of the banks in Ecuador. And this one is out of Ireland. And this one is out of Greece. Matter of fact, it already has the world code on it, so it's now good in 12 other countries. They simply run it through. There will be a day you could bring this into Walmart. Walmart will run it through. It'll tell you right there what the exchange rate is. And people from Greece can use their Greek money in Walmart. I tell you, this is fantastic. It's exactly what the Bible said would occur. In every single country, I mean, there's one of them from China. And every one of them has a blank spot. There's only three countries that don't have a blank spot yet. The U.S., Canada, and one of the banks of England. Have you seen the suggested design for our new $100 bill to prevent counterfeiting? Neatly printed on the side is a blank spot. Oh, I'm excited. You want to know why? The Bible said in the last days that all the economies of the world would collapse at one moment, ours included. And we're marching toward that time. Listen, what people laughed at John for writing 1900 years ago is a reality today. The technology is here. You see, this is a sign. It's not a sign for the rapture. It's a sign for the tribulation. And before the tribulation ever comes, Jesus will come in the clouds. You want to know why I get excited about all this? Because when I see it coming, I say, I know the Lord is coming. And it could be today. And if He's coming soon, shouldn't we live differently? Shouldn't we live like no other people that have ever lived at any other time? Because I personally believe that we may be the people who will be on earth when Jesus comes in the clouds. If that's true, I want to use every day, I want to use every hour for His glory, for His purpose. And so I think our question should be, all right, how should I live? In view of the fact that Jesus may well come today, how should I live? And I believe it would cause us to live very differently. Now, the world economies, you cannot find them. Israel's even reprinted theirs. Russia reprinted theirs to get a blank spot on. Every small country, in conforming to the world standards so we can get a world monetary system, folks, did the citizens of the world ever agree to this? No. Somewhere, a master plan behind the scenes is bringing all the currencies into one single uniform code. But I'll tell you what. With all their secret planning, they cannot be ahead of what God's Word predicted 1900 years. Don't you think that God